You're listening to Sci-Fi for Chicks on Sci-Fi for Me Radio.
Do you ever wonder what a woman really thinks about?
Doctor Who.
Harry Potter.
Lust.
Orphan Black.
Grimm.
Space.
The Final
Fear of the Walking Dead.
Outlander.
Star Wars. Heroes and Heroes Reborn.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Agent Carter.
Mr. Robot.
Lord of the Rings.
I, Zombie.
Stargate.
Aliens.
The Secrets of the Immortal Nicholas
The Marvel Fox. Movie.
Penny Dreadful. Walking Dead.
X-Men. Cosmos.
Firefly.
Game of Thrones.
Harry Dresden.
The Return.
The Spiderwick Chronicles.
King Wolf. Sherlock.
Battlestar Galactica.
Sleepy
Ghostbusters. Star Trek.
Torchwood.
Guardians
of the
Galaxy.
All you have to do is listen. This is Sci-Fi for Chicks.
Welcome to Sci-Fi for Chicks as we continue our Women in Genre series, where we look at female characters in some of our favorite TV shows, movies, books, and more. In this episode, the ladies will discuss the women of Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. on ABC. Hi, my name is Heather French, and I'll be your host for this episode. If you are like me and not up to date on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. through the end of Season 2, spoilers, because the ladies will be talking all things Season 1, Season 2, looking ahead to Season 3, maybe even pulling Marvel movies in if they relate to the episode. So you have been warned. You do want to make sure and catch up before it returns for Season 3 on Tuesday, September 29th on ABC. Check your local listings for channel and time. So if I'm not talking about the women of S.H.I.E.L.D., who is? Well, first off, we have my podcasting partner in crime, Alex Callahan.
What's up?
And we have two of the lovely ladies of Level 117, SciFiForMe.com's Marvel podcast. We have Cammy Settle.
Hey, how you doing?
And Maya Aides.
Howdy doody.
Now, Cammy and Maya, I want you to tell us a little bit about Level 117.
Ooh, well, you know, we broadcast every week from the secret underground bunker of Sci-Fi for Me. Yes, the world headquarters. We're only part of that team. It's a nice mix. We've got the guys, Jason, Tim, and Dan, and then Maya and I come in, and we essentially keep those guys focused on what we're supposed to be talking about. And well, you know,
sometimes
they do like to digress into their Marvel universes.
The format that we've used on that show has changed somewhat in the setup of how we recorded the two different segments of the show, but we still do have the two different segments of the show. We watch the show and then run down into the basement.
You make it sound so glamorous.
Run because
no,
that was glamorous.
That was sarcasm.
Now, you guys watch the show and then record immediately after, so this is like your first impressions?
Right.
Yes. And that's actually one of the challenges, because you don't have time to mull over it or let it sink in or anything. You're diving right in as soon as the show is finished, pretty much, and we work out any technical issues that need to be worked out that night.
And yet the boys still find a way to digress into the Marvel Universe.
Always.
Yeah, they're not. I would like to blame it on them, except that they're not alone in digression.
Their digression is much more focused on the history of different Marvel Universes and the character, like, origins. And, oh, well, in the comic book universe, they did this. And in the, what was it, 616 universe? Please don't quote me, because I take notes and it just goes in and out. So these guys have been living and breathing this since they were young. And they, you know, it's like the brain cells you'll never kill. So
yeah, I suspect that they make up universes, though, just to confuse you and I, Cammy.
Yeah, because I always tell them, okay, this is where I have to take out my notes. You know, I have to start, get my pen and pencil out.
I don't even bother. I run out of fingers and toes when it comes to the different comic book universes. And really, that's as far as I can go, is my fingers
and toes.
Well,
as far as I'm concerned, you two are the glue that holds that together and the best two-fifths of that show, because the other three-fifths are the stinky boys.
Well, you know, the world needs stinky boys, too.
Yes, it does, but not here. So there.
For now.
You guys will be returning for the premiere, right, on Tuesday the 29th?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
And looking forward to that, I'm sure.
Yep.
We'll talk more at the end about what they're
thinking
might happen in Season 3, as well as Alex. But, you know, Alex is in the future, so it's hard for her to join live on some of those things.
That would be like the wee hours of the morning or something. Well, it won't air there at the same time.
There are some things that I'm willing to stay up to 4 a.m. to talk about. Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is fascinating, and I like it. but not 4 a.m. like it.
Not podcast with stinky boys like
Yeah, no, because the later in the day we get, the more I lose the ability to speak English or, you know.
That's true.
At all.
That's very true.
So, yeah, let's
I think that goes for all of us, Alex.
Even when English is our first language.
For all of this fun that you're already hearing, you're getting a taste of what Level 117 is like. Make sure to subscribe to it on iTunes or the podcast platform of your choice. You can also, of course, subscribe to Chicks. Just search for Sci-Fi for Me, because then you'll have all of them, and that way you don't have to try and worry about spelling Level 117. I don't know. Is there numbers? Is it all letters? Is it one word? I don't know.
I don't know.
Look for Sci-Fi for Me. And, of course, Sci-Fi for Chicks. We'd love for you to subscribe to us so that you don't miss a single episode. We'd also love to hear your comments and questions about this episode, future episodes. We are coming back with our Boob Tube editions, which is when we talk about different TV shows. Alex and I will be returning with iZombie. Doreen and I and Jennifer are going to be doing Fear the Walking Dead. We've actually already started that. And I'm trying to hold Maya and Cammie to coming back with Grimm.
It could happen.
Yeah. Yeah, we're talking about doing a little bit shorter format than, say, Level 117, but... more like a half hour.
And that's with the Chicks
podcast.
Boob Tube ones. We're gonna try and keep it down to more a half an hour so that you can watch more shows.
I have a thought about that podcast. I think you might, the marketing there, you should really maybe, you might think about calling it Boobs Tube.
That's where you insert some crickets, Heather.
cricket. Anyway, we would love to hear what you have to say about the women of genre, any of our BoobTube versions. It's BoobTube, because that's what the TV's actually called, is the BoobTube.
I know, but Chicks, we'll boobs.
Oh, is that where you were going with that?
Yeah, I got where she was going with it.
Yes!
Not just one set. We would love to hear your comments and questions, so make sure and email us, scififorchicks@scififorme.com. You can also go over to Twitter. We, of course, want you to go to Twitter and follow us at scififorchicks. If it's a question for this series, make sure and use the hashtag Women of Genre so we can find it. And, of course, the hotline. Sci-Fi for Me does have a hotline that you can leave your questions and comments on. It's 573-427-2434, 573-42-SCI-FI. Now, you may be asking, why am I doing all of that? How can you reach us stuff at the beginning? Because I usually put that at the end. It's because, ladies, we're leading into our discussion with a question from a listener. Exciting. So come on, people. If Allison here can do it, you can do it too. Here is Allison's question.
Hi, Chicks. This is Allison from Durham, North Carolina. I've listened to you guys for a really long time. It's my first time calling in. I'm really excited about your new series on women in the genre. I had a quick question for you about women on S.H.I.E.L.D. I know there's been some criticism of Marvel for their lack of female characters of substance. So I was wondering, you know, now that the S.H.I.E.L.D. main cast is 50-50, is this a case of them trying to give us more women of substance? You know, maybe kind of a yin-yang thing for counterpoint to the three male leads? Or is it just a necessity of television writing versus film, comic strip writing? I'd be interested to hear your thoughts on that. Thanks a lot. Bye.
So what do you think, ladies? What is the answer to her question?
I think it has more to do with the fact that this is a television format. And when they go to a movie, and the fear is that a female lead won't be able to draw the audience the way that their boy heroes have. And I don't think they're right about that. But I think in television, it's a necessity to have more balance between male and female, and I think that's why it's happened.
You know, even so, what they've done here with this program feels natural. It doesn't feel forced, even though they have done some pairing of people. You know, you've got the, like you mentioned, or the question mentioned, May and Coulson and Fitz and Simmons, and you've got Bobby and Hunter, but not every character is paired with a counterpart from the opposite gender. You know, like Raina, for example, is kind of out there on her own. There's some auxiliary characters like Trip and Mac, and I think that what they have done with the main group of characters, that core group, feels very balanced. It just so happens that these tend to be male-female pairs, but I don't feel, I never really noticed it until I started thinking about this.
I agree. I didn't think about it, but I also think it's probably not terribly realistic that in a small elite group like that you would have had half and half.
Why do you say that?
Well, because things like military tends to be much more male populated, and this isn't the military per se, but it's still something yeah. like that. I don't know what, and I'm not in spy teams, so I don't know what their male yeah. to female yeah. ratios are.
So do you
are.
Feel like this feels, do the females in those places feel like they're believable to you?
Yeah. And I had never even really stopped to think about it either until we started bringing up that there's a nice division or, I mean, I realized that there were strong female characters and strong female, it's an ensemble cast. I can't really call them leads. They're all leads in that team. So the fact that it wasn't screaming at me lends itself to being believable that way.
We also have to take into the account that the TV show has been developed by Joss Whedon, who is really well known for strong female characters and complex female characters
right.
in TV. So it was safe bet that we would get good and relatable female characters, and we got May and we got Simmons, and even though some people were against Skye at the very beginning, she grew on them. Come yes. on, let's face it.
Yes. Well, and she developed as both a character and I believe as an actress. I think that she has honed and developed her acting chops particularly as the first season went on. I think part of that was writing and part of it was her settling in and becoming comfortable with having such a large yeah. role.
Alex, you brought up something that I did have here in my notes before I bow out because I don't know season two or anything like that. But you talked about Joss Whedon, and there have been criticisms about the Joss Whedon model of feminism where female characters are often beaten, tortured, or raped by men in order to prove their strength in a way that male characters would not be subjected to. This is, by the way, from the Harry Potter Alliance Toolkit about Marvel, which is a really interesting document. It has some interesting, like, talking points. They continue with Whedon's strong female characters are often lambasted for being strong specifically in the way that Joss Whedon would like to sleep with and for the narrative's focus on their sexuality. Many criticisms of Whedon's feminisms in his other works carry over into S.H.I.E.L.D., which are included in this resource. What do you guys think of that?
We haven't seen a lot of that because, like, Gemma is, I will say she is a strong female character. Particularly in season two, she has come along and stood up to others, taken on roles that she was had to really step out of her comfort box to do, going undercover and, you know, kind of being a secret double agent thing. That was definitely out of that character's comfort zone. And perhaps she does have some kind of violent past, but that hasn't been introduced in the show. We don't know anything right. about that.
As far as I'm concerned, my relationship with Joss Whedon was somewhat tumultuous because he did provide me with amazing TV shows, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Firefly, even Dollhouse, which is one of the most questionable material that he provided. But what I always felt is that at the very beginning of his TV career, I suppose, Joss Whedon created a strong female character who kicked ass, so to speak. Buffy. Buffy, she was strong and she had the strength, the physical strength, to face the problems and the situations that writers threw at her, or, you know, life, quote unquote. It was the 90s, and at that point, I'm pretty sure, no matter how feminist a creator would be, there was this convention that if a character is strong, physically strong, then to explore her weaknesses and the little softer side, she had to experience a physical crisis. And so the infamous season 6 came around and Spike's attempted rape and everything that I refuse to remember because it's just so wrong. But it happened. And it actually provided the fandom, the Buffyverse, Jossverse fandom, with stuff to explore and actually analyze. And the amount of meta essays and discussions that went into the dreaded season 6 is incredible. And I believe that fandom ended up stronger and better because of what we got. We didn't get what we wanted or what we liked, but it actually made us better fans, I think, because we started to notice these things. And then when Joss went on to create Firefly, he once again provided us with strong, kick-ass female characters. Those female characters were trapped within the stereotypes that they grew out from. And if Firefly got more seasons, more time to develop them, I think they would be less like cardboard characters. Mm-hmm.
Less,
yeah, exactly.
Less cliched.
What I like about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Yeah. or I'm sorry, Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Just S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yes.
Yeah.
Let's just call it S.H.I.E.L.D.
S.H.I.E.L.D. is that Joss was a driving force in creating it, but the people that are actually hands-on, that have hands-on approach and actually have been decision makers are Jed and Marisa, producers, I think. And they are the ones who actually make things happen. So while we talk about S.H.I.E.L.D. being Joss Whedon's show, it is, but at the same time, it isn't. Because actually the female characters are what proves to me that it's not a Joss Whedon show. Because even though we have kick-ass characters with May and Mockingbird and Skye and later in season two, they are still women who are not defined by their kick-ass skills. Because they are more than that. They are not Firefly's cardboard cutout characters.
You brought that up, and that kind of leads into an interview that I found. It's on Red Carpet News TV. If you go to YouTube, you can find that and maybe up their views there. Because this is actually pretty interesting, I thought. It's with our characters of Fitz and Hunter. But this was, I thought, a really interesting take from the inside. Because here's two cast members being asked the same kind of question and having to look from the inside out. So here we have this.
S.H.I.E.L.D. is a show that has gone quite a way, particularly for Marvel, to proving that they do care about strong female characters as well as the
characters. I think, you know, and that's, you know, a big theme of, you know, shows that Joss created, and, you know, that strong female lead, like, yeah, that's been a big part of it, you know, and all our, you know, our executive producers on the show and writers, you know, that's like a big theme for them, you know, and it's a cool thing to be...
It seems to be that they kind of, I think we're lucky that we've got like Jed and Marisa, you know, kind of running the show, and they kind of, I think they don't sort of see things in that way, do they? They're not kind of going, all right, we need a big hero, or we need a star. They're just kind of writing what they want, and they're very much kind of, I don't think they see gender as a kind of obstacle for anyone, and they want to push those things. And it is really nice to be on a show where like there's equality among it, like the girls are as, like, I don't think I could take any of the girls. No, I could probably take Simmons, but the rest of them I'd probably kick my ass.
Well, I think, but also to like what you say, I think that's the thing about it. I never really actually noticed it too much because it's just like that's the way it should be, you know. It's a pretty even split, you know, in that in terms of male and female, and that's I haven't really noticed it in that sense, so that's a good thing.
I wanted to play it again because I couldn't remember some of the things they said. So I like that that Fitz said, you know, and that's the way it should be.
Yeah,
they're just even split. So from the inside out, they don't see anything. Are we just making more of it because we're trying to look for controversy? You know, we have all the stuff in the Marvel movies, like with Black Widow and what's Evangeline Lilly's character in Ant-Man?
Wasp. This is the thing. If Marvel greenlit S.H.I.E.L.D. and allowed it, quote unquote, to be 50-50 cast, I think they shot themselves in the butt because S.H.I.E.L.D. showed us that we can have awesome female characters who are at the center of things and are leading teams and the scientists and are decision makers within the universe. And it actually works. So if they thought we wouldn't want Black Widow, they are wrong.
Yeah. Maybe that's their way of starting to prime the audience and get them used to these kind of characters and these women who can be in leadership roles, and priming the pump, so to speak, or priming their audience and teaching them about strong female characters in this kind of a universe, so that then they will be able to have strong numbers for female
priming the audience, or priming the executives and the people that are greenlighting this that don't think that...
Oh, everything comes down to money, so I'm sure it's them first, and then...
I think we're ready.
With Guardians of the Galaxy, you know, they got a lot of flack about, really, you're going to do a movie about it with a walking tree and a talking raccoon?
No Black Widow movie?
And no Black Widow movie? But the thing was that, you know, they did work to set the stage for people to accept that kind of a storyline. And by the time it came out, the numbers were huge. I didn't know Guardians of the Galaxy before I went to the movie, before I started seeing the promos, the trailers beforehand. And I was so excited to go see the movie. I had a great time at the movie. I love that movie. Did I read them in the comic book? No. I'd never heard about them before I started hearing about the movie.
I haven't thought about that before, that it's their way of priming, you know, preparing everybody, the world outside, for more female characters. But if I try to be optimistic and not think about it like wishful thinking, that in the ideal world, this is what it would be, it gives me hope, actually. So I'm going to keep my, you know, cynicism and sarcasm away and think that that's why they're doing it. Yeah.
No, not my Alex.
No, I like this theory. So
I do believe that there's an interesting, you know, I mean, they've got, Marvel is, to my knowledge, one of the companies, I don't know if this has been precedented before, but to have plans so far out with different projects, and this is what we're going to do, and this is when this one is going to come out. You know, they're phase one, phase two, and now I guess we're in the early stages of phase three of this rollout plan. I am not personally aware of another company doing that. Now, I could very well be wrong about that. and particularly being public about it. You know, this is our phase one. This is our phase two. This movie will come out in the next year. And 2 years later, this one comes out.
Right.
3 years later, that one comes out. So they obviously have a plan there to bring the audiences along with
them. Right. Well, This was what one of the first times where they've actually taken the season and promoted the movies at the same time. And it kind of bit them in the butt the first season, because there was just so many episodes where nothing happened. And they, you know, it was just, it's like, oh my gosh, this is just not moving forward at all. And then Captain America came out, the Winter Soldier, which was what they were waiting for. And then the plot lines could just go forward. I think they have a better cadence on this thing now. So they've planned it better. Much better.
It was better
with
season two. Yeah. Mm. Season one, you were like, okay, can we just cut out those four or five episodes? And can I have that part of my time back?
Couldn't we just start with the premiere of, you know, after Captain America, and then just hit the ground running? That was, I think that was the biggest problem fans had with season one.
Yes.
If it started after Captain America, everybody would be drooling and, you know, oh my God, this is so awesome. And at the same time, we lost the viewers.
Or if they had I mean, the first couple of episodes of season one were very strong. So if you'd had those two, say, before Winter Soldier to set the stage, these are who our characters are, this is what this is about. Then you had the movie released, and then we picked up with the storylines after that. Hey, they could have had a really strong season, but no, they had to go throw in weeks in there where we just tumbled around doing nothing.
And that's the season I was actually watching pretty regularly, and then I missed an episode, and then it was like you had to watch Winter Soldier, and I didn't see Winter Soldier, and I actually didn't see the final episodes until right before season two started, because I was like, well, I have to see Winter Soldier first, because it had, you know, felt that. Would it have been better if Winter Soldier had maybe been a Christmas movie, a Thanksgiving Christmas movie, and then you could have had the whole second half of season one be the ramifications of that?
Okay, well, I don't remember when season one started, but I'm going to guess that
it was
in
September
as well.
Winter Soldier came out early April.
Oh my gosh, that was a lot of time of doing nothing.
Yes, it would have been much better at Christmas.
No, it would have been better. It would have been better if Winter Soldier had come out in October.
Yeah, after the first two episodes.
Not Christmas, October.
Because they really held the plot back for that release, and it was just nonsense.
How can we waste time and not go anywhere and not say what we want to say because we can't say it yet because the movie hasn't come out.
And like I said, that's where it lost me, because you had an episode and then Winter Soldier comes out and then you have the next episode. So if I didn't see Winter Soldier right then, I was lost. Whereas if they had had it come out over the holiday time, I have all holidays and this winter break to see Winter Soldier and then catch back up, and maybe I would have stayed. And it kind of seemed like the same thing with Thor. What was the second Thor movie? Where they kind of built it, which I did. I think I did see up through that and went, oh, well, you didn't really need to see that movie to for this. But
no,
they did build
it
up
really
like
didn't.
That. And it just keeps feeling like they're building it up where you have to see this in order to do that. But they're not giving people like me, who aren't first in line at the theater to watch the Marvel movies,
a chance
to watch them.
Can I give you a little international anecdote about that? It's completely unrelated to women.
It's even later.
But it's related to S.H.I.E.L.D. in general. This is the only TV show, like the only one that I can think of, and I've watched TV a lot. Like, I've seen a lot of TV shows, but this is the only TV show that has its timing so set to the what happens in the U.S. that it's absolutely impossible to watch it anywhere outside of the US on actual, you know, TV screens through actual channels that bought syndication rights and all that. Because, and season one was especially difficult because I think there was a delay of a week. It was still nothing, because some movies come out in Europe before they have a premiere date in the US, and some of them come out months after the American premiere.
Right.
And we had to wait a week after the US premiered Captain America: Winter Soldier, and it was a week that took, you know, to get dubbing done or subtitles or whatever. And for people here, it was impossible to, they had to actually, if they knew, they had to stop watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. It was difficult to come around to watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. again, because I had to remember to stop watching because I had to spoil myself that it would influence, it was big enough to influence Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So I had to spoil myself to know that something big was coming. Then I had to remember to stop watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. as they came on my TV screen. Then I had to remember that I had to go see Captain America on the, you know, first weekend.
Movie.
It was actually Thursday, because that's how movies come out sometimes, on Thursday. And then I had to remember to, hey, there is this TV show that I should probably pick up now, because now, apparently, I know what will happen on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. It was so ridiculous. And they keep doing it. They did that with Dark World, which also had a weekly delay. They did it with Age of Ultron, which was minute, like minor. People didn't even notice sometimes. So that was okay.
Yes.
Season two,
And that one really bothered me, because they built it up like there was going to be so much interrelated between the show and the movie. And then it was like 30 seconds or less worth of pickup in the TV show of how it tied in with the movie. And I was like,
and it took them weeks. They were building it up. It was such a huge deal in the TV show in season two. And then it was like, so that happened. It was so anticlimactic. I was so,
Although maybe they got enough pushback from season one, where they made it so dependent on the movie. You know, maybe things like exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, but I'm not used to American creators to actually care what international people say. So
we don't.
Yeah, but it was...
Just give us your money.
Season one was absolute mess anywhere outside of US and probably Canada.
Mm-hmm. Executive producer Jeffrey Bell did say, I think that last year, this he's saying this was in May 2015, it worked really well. We got to be our own show and tell our own stories in the Marvel Cinematic Universe and had a nice handoff or a tie-in, but neither are incumbent upon the other to be a follow. And I think it's a great model. He said that Ant-Man comes out this summer and will have come and gone before we air again in September, so he doesn't know if there will be anything vestigial right. from that. Or for Civil War next season. So they still aren't, they still hadn't determined this was in May. But we're in contact with the movie people and them with us. And anytime we can put little Easter eggs in, it's a lot of fun for diehard fans. Do they need to focus more on those fun little Easter eggs for the diehards? Or do they need to plan better if they're doing something like Winter Soldier that really was
I cannot a imagine huge thing. That huge Civil thing. War will not have an impact on S.H.I.E.L.D. Because Civil War well, is Captain such America. A huge event Chris Evans, in the Marvel Universe.
In this next season, they're setting up for Civil War.
So it probably is going to
so
have
going
a large
to be
impact.
Timing-wise and release-wise.
Yeah, I don't know how...
Run all over again.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know about the timing, but they are setting up for Civil War.
Man, I hope it's not like season one.
Well, here we do have the release date for Civil War in North America, since Alex did bring this up, is May 6th of 2016.
Yeah, it's going to be May 15th here.
So that's going to be right at season... three finale mm-hmm. time. So whether it affects the final few episodes or one or two, I don't know. I mean, at least it's a little bit further in because right. Like I said, I hated Winter Soldier right. I still had, I think there were still eight episodes left, six or eight episodes mm-hmm. left. And I'm like, well, I'm now really behind.
Yeah.
Speaking of being really behind, this is the supposed to be the women we haven't talked about of much about that, Marvel's really. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Well, why don't we take a break? Kind of regroup, and then we can come back and focus on the women of Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Hey everyone, Leslie Walker here inviting you to join me and the rest of the Sci-Fi for Me crew every week as we dive into the details of the TV shows that you and we love. Did you miss your favorite show this week? Or perhaps you need someone to talk to about that latest plot twist and the implications. Well, maybe your friends don't geek out over shows like Supernatural, Grimm, and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. like what your friends over at Sci-Fi for Me do, but hey, it's what we live for. So join us for the latest at scififorme.com, your portal to the science fiction multiverse.
On our next episode, the ladies continue their discussion about the women of Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
What are they doing to her and why? Because it made no sense. It made no character sense. She was totally going against everything that she had been written as up to that point.
She was turning into a love interest. And oh my God, kill me now.
She's just steady. She's strong. She gets the best sarcastic one-liners. And she delivers them with such verbal kung fu. It's just amazing.
That part that I actually liked because she set boundaries and nobody crosses boundaries when it comes to May. From then on, she just grew more and more complex and they added new layers to her. It was a joy to watch her.
That's next time on Sci-Fi for Chicks, Women of Genre.
This has been a presentation of SciFiForMe.com. Copyright 2015 by Flaming Dog Media, LLC. All rights reserved. No portion of this program may be retransmitted without the express written consent of Flaming Dog Media. This is Sci-Fi For Me Radio.